Thank you, Zach. Our gathering here has two special passages connected. The epistle for the day is Colossians 1, and then there's a passage that Tom and I both use. He got to kind of select this because, hey, it's a special day. It's a special passage. And I've heard him again and again talk about this passage in our ministry, especially as God prepares somebody for eternity. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me, said Jesus. My Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go there to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me where I am. In Alaska, where I worked during my seminary days, it was kind of a Wild West place. Naknek, Alaska, and the salmon canning industry had a lot of lives that you probably wouldn't overlap with otherwise. One of those was a big 6'6 gentleman, almost 300 pounds. His name was Pete. Big, barrel-chested Pete. Had a reddish blonde beard down to about here, and he had black rimmed glasses before they were even popular. And he had a big voice. He'd fill the whole room. In fact, he would always look at us. There were eventually five of us that were studying for the ministry at the cannery, and then he'd just proclaim in a big booming voice, "I got one foot in the grave and the other on a slippery banana peel." And you can guess how we felt about that. Pete, you're acting like there's no eternity, like this is all we have. And oh, would we pray for him and talk to him and try to help him. You see, Pete was raised as a fisherman, and many of the fishermen in his family went down. Some of them didn't come back. So he figured he was going to die young. And he had this cavalier attitude, like, whatever happens, happens. And then he would, just to goad us, he would say, "Yeah, I know where I'm going." And he'd point down and he'd get all afraid. And then he'd say, like, "Well, you know, it's because in heaven there is no beer. I got to be there with my friends." But that's not the kind of destination that our Savior, Lutheran, is going to orient you towards. And Tom and I, in our overlap of ministry, have a very special phrase that we've come to really want for people's hearts. It ends this way: because Jesus is my Savior. Do you know how it begins? Because Jesus is my Savior, heaven is my home. Yes, you can see it on the screen there. We're destined for something so much greater. As Jesus would say, our goal, as indicated by the cover of the bulletin, is to get home, home to heaven. And you know, in Colossians, the Apostle Paul is going to say, this comes about because of the way God puts seeds in human hearts. Ephesus was the big town on the border, western border of Asia Minor, and it had a lot of traffic because it was a seaport, and it was an important, influential place with Rome's presence there. And so Paul set up camp there, in fact, the mother church of all the others, and he stayed for 2 years. What's interesting about this letter is a city 125 miles to the east, Colossae, was on the decline. Little Laodicea that lay next to it was rising, and that ended up being where Paul went, not Colossae, but Laodicea. So he never met the people that he wrote to. It was a powerful message that would go to them because of Epaphras, a man from Colossae that we'll hear about in just a moment. Even though Paul hasn't met these Christians in Colossae, notice the warmth, the joy, the thanks that fills his heart as he expresses this. Now, it's printed in the bulletin. I'll read. Colossians 1. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. Let's look at being thankful and take Paul's prayer of thanks into consideration. He cannot stop giving thanks. And so in our Father's house, we are thankful for three things. For the sower of the seed itself, and for the fruit it produces, called faith, hope, and love. The sower. Thankful for the sowers of the seed. Before a crop can grow, it needs to have a sower. And you know that in today's technology, they pull these big rigs out and they can plant seeds precisely. 1 inch apart, 6 inches apart. You ever look at the rows that they can plant? It's amazing. You see it happen and then after a while it begins to grow. The corn's already knee high, isn't it? Amazing what can happen in that seed going into the ground. A little bit of sunshine, a little bit of rain. God has designed it. And the human heart is the soil into which the seed of the gospel is planted. Praise God for the sowers, right? Now, I learned a little bit from my grandchildren about how you can sow seeds. I took down a couple trees, and we took out the stumps, and so I had to reseed that part of the lawn. So I had my grandchildren with me. My oldest, 9 years old, was not afraid to grab into that seed bag. Whew! Grabbed a whole handful like this, and I'm carefully showing him how to spread it out like this. He looked at me, smiled, and dropped it all right in one place. Well, I didn't want to disturb that and make it my own. I just left it there, and I guess where there are a lot of seeds, there will be a lot of growth. And you know, that's how God does his work. Through people like Tom Herring, who came here from California, nobody would have convinced him he'd spend a lot of his ministry in Wisconsin, you know. He went to school in Minnesota, and I think he vowed that he would never come back. He wasn't really a Yankee, but that's been okay. Having this blessing of a seed that is sown by someone called our staff minister has just been a special reward for all of us at our Savior. Now, I want to ask you, you know, how this relates to us. Well, the sower of the seed in Colossae was Epaphras, that once he had heard about it, probably at Ephesus, maybe down at Laodicea, the story about Jesus and how people had come to know him as true God, true man, the one who was willing to go to the cross and in going there would carry the whole weight of the nation and of all people of all times, and he in his sacrifice would free us. Once he had heard of that love of Jesus and he had heard the word proclaimed, it was so close to his heart that he couldn't help himself. His hand was in the bag. He had the seed in his hand and he was going to share it as fast as he could. So Epaphras became a pastor, appointed to Colossae to lead. And I ask you, who's been the Epaphras in your life? Now, you know, when we ask people, who's been the most influential spiritual person in your life? It's usually mom or dad, brother or sister, and way down the list are pastor and teacher. But in the flowing in and out of God's house where the gospel is proclaimed and taught, that's where moms and dads are reinforced and encouraged. That's where children learn in our elementary school or in our vacation Bible school or our Sunday school. And what we learn is that our Lord has given us a very special gift. Now, it's Father's Day, so let's say that to the dads and to Tom. Happy Father's Day. All right. And He happens to be a father of six together with Linda. Don't discount what Linda's role was in all that. What a blessing to have family and now many, many grandchildren. And oh, the joys and the heartaches that come along with raising a family. It's sowing the seed, isn't it? And for those Epaphrases, you might ask the question also, who can you be Epaphras for? Maybe it is in your family. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's just a friend or an acquaintance, a coworker. And all you have to do is say, it's okay. You know, I know life is hard. I've got some good news for you. I've got some information I can share with you. It might help. Or you can say, why don't you just come with me to church? Secondly, we are thankful for how the seed bears fruit. Let's talk a little bit more about the gospel, that good news of Jesus. There were others sowing seed all around. Everywhere where Paul went to sow the seed, there would be Judaizers and others that would press on the message. They would even persecute Paul and his co-workers. Do you remember that many times they were chased out of town? One time he was stoned and left for dead. They went through constant attacks and then eventually ended up in prison, and Paul himself a martyr for the gospel. When you understand what the true gospel is, you'll see its power. That it's not limited to one area or field. And that's the important part, is the sower is doing a significant job, but it is God who makes the seed, and the mystery of that life is his. Paul will say in 1 Corinthians 3, who's Apollos? Who am I? Who's Peter? One waters, one sows the seed, but God gives the growth. And that's what I think is both humbling and rewarding in ministry, is to see how God will spread that seed out and bring redemption and rescue and forgiveness and reconciliation and peace to people. The gospel is that seed that the farmer plants. And without the gospel, there can be no faith. And so it's a precious gift in the hands of people that are what Paul will call clay pots. Broken, mended, put back together again. Nobody knows that better than the pastor or the staff minister. And we watch the grace of God. We sow the seed. We do our best, and even that sometimes you wonder is if it's good enough, but it's not us. It's the gift of Christ in that gospel seed. And though the world is spreading all kinds of other stories, just like at the time of Paul, there's so many things going on in our world right now. It seems like a world in chaos or storm, yet even that cannot stop the seed of growth of God's word planted in a human heart. So be thankful for the sower, be thankful for the seed, and then watch and be thankful for the produce, the fruit. And here he uses the three terms, always in Paul, faith, hope, and love. Do you remember how in 1 Corinthians 13 he would say that there's where there's no love, you're only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal? And then he goes on to say that it's perfected in Christ, because love always hopes, always perseveres, always the things that only Jesus can do. Love never fails, he says. And so in talking with the Colossians, he says, we have heard of your faith in Jesus Christ. We have heard of the love you have for all the saints. So it's faith that trusts in Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit working that seed open until it takes growth. Putting down roots, spreading out. You can see it going on all around you right now in Wisconsin. And it's not just grass. It's the fields that will be harvested. And then comes the faith, the hope, the love. And above all, there is the gift of being able to share that seed again. If a plant is healthy, it grows all the way up. It gets to maturity, breaks open, and casts the seed out. A couple weeks ago, we had a cottonwood tree blowing seed everywhere here. Or if you just want to take a kid and a dandelion, they are willing to spread those seeds where Grandpa doesn't necessarily like where they're going to go. The hope is another way of describing the sunshine that comes from God above. So you have those four things. You have the sun, the soil, you have the seed and the water, and the gospel bears fruit all around us. We can bring that by encouraging faith, hope, and love in other people's lives. General MacArthur had a famous speech at West Point. It was the graduates, and his speech was quoted very often then at West Point, put up on a wall in a plaque. He ended it with three words, the same. The words he said was, it all comes down to one thing, the core, the core, the core. You put your life out there for the core. And really, couldn't that be said about the gospel? The fruit is going to happen wherever there is gospel. The gospel, the gospel, the gospel. And Luther is able to explain that frequently in the catechism. Thomas had a deep role in the touching many lives here at Our Savior in the catechism instruction phase. And he put himself into it, invested himself, so much so that he's been engaged now with the seminary to do training with other students, pastoral students. What a blessing to hear that in the third article that Luther will say, it calls, gathers, enlightens, sanctifies, and keeps. And you know what does all that? The gospel. The gospel. You share the gospel, and the fruit comes from God. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his wisdom and understanding. We pray this that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Did you know that every 21 seconds, a soldier guarding the unknown tomb of a soldier in Arlington will turn and go forward 21 more steps? For as long as they are on duty, they will hit one step, 1 second, 21 steps, and turn. And it doesn't matter if it's rain or shine, snow, ice, sleet, they will be there because they want to honor the sacrifice that these who have fallen for our country have given. Isn't it a lot like that in ministry? And not just for those who are called full-time, but for each of us. Step, step, step. With the gospel, the gospel, the gospel. And that's really what has happened. It's hard for me to believe that things are changing so much at Our Savior. 22 years ago, he came as our principal. 5 years after that, he became our staff minister. And we've had a long and fruitful march. 21 steps, turn, and do it again. 22 years of being faithful. So we give thanks to the Father for the faith and love that are produced by sowers who sow the seed, by the seed as we watch the Holy Spirit grow it in human hearts. And so many people today are all wrapped up in their world of fast living. I was on my way back from Dan Olson's committal a week ago. On Saturday morning, I rode down with Lee, a good friend, close friend, and I rode back with Renee from Miller Funeral Home. And Renee, I've gotten to know her over the last 15 years. She's driving along just a little bit over the speed limit, and people were coming by us, buzzing by us, cutting us off. And she kind of chuckled and said, shortly into the drive, she goes, oh, so many people have to go so fast. And it just, she kept stating this, oh, there's another one. No place to go, but they're in a hurry to get there. And you know, it kind of seems that way, that people don't have a real true understanding of what matters, what makes the difference. Because the seed of God in a human heart is what changes people. And you can quote somebody like this, Richard Twiss, a Lakota Indian who shared this insight. He said to the Euro-American, time is quantitative, but to the Native American, it is qualitative. And he said, this is the evidence when asked an older man of our tribe, he was asked the question, have you lived your whole life on the reservation? His answer was, no, not yet. A different perspective. And we have a lot of life yet to live, to finish well. And we've got a few of the Herring children here with us today as we've been celebrating their dad. And on Father's Day, what a gift for you to be here with him. And I imagine on those journeys from California to Oklahoma or to Oregon, you were the ones that in the car said, are we there yet? Did you ever hear that, Tom? Linda? Oh, yeah. And it couldn't come fast enough, right? But Tom, are we there yet? No, we haven't arrived yet. Heaven is my home. And if the past 22 years are any kind of an indicator of what will be happening in your life to come, your new chapter of life, it will be with faithfulness, one step after another. Keep doing and being the person God has made you to be. What a blessing we have had at our Savior. Thank you to your family, to your sweetheart, for all that you have done and given. And we honor what the Lord has done through you. And we will have to say that we're back at John 14. Philip said, well, we don't know where you're going. And Jesus said, oh, Philip, you do. You know. I am the way. And Tom, you know that way. And you know who you're following. And you know the best is yet to come. Amen.